Every day, Pope Leo XIII, after celebrating Holy Mass as an act of thanksgiving, would serve the Mass of another priest as an altar boy. In 1886, one day he was serving Mass and then all of a sudden lapsed into a vision. He got up, he abandoned the altar, left the priest to fend for himself, and then went straight to his office. Half an hour later, he gave the Cardinal's Secretary of State a prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, with the order that it be said after low masses, those are our masses without music, all over the Catholic world. Now, we still don't know exactly what all he saw in that vision that the Lord granted him, but it seems that the Pope had a vision of Satan attacking Rome, the Church, and the papacy in a particularly violent way. Leo XIII, who was no fanatic, and he was certainly no pushover, was sufficiently alarmed to call the soldiers of Christ in the Church militant to prayer. That prayer was said after Mass every day except for the Paschal Triduum until 1964, when it became optional. And of course, you know what happens when things become optional. They tend to fall into disuse. And so many Catholics under the age of 50 don't even know the prayer at all. Prince of Peace is perhaps one of the few places where we continue to say the prayer after our low masses in both forms of the Roman Rite. So why do we do this? Do we do this just because we kind of like to kick it old school around here at Prince of Peace, or is there a deeper reason? Well, fast forward to 2013. Pope Francis dedicated a statue to St. Michael the Archangel in the Vatican Gardens and took the opportunity to place the Vatican under the patronage of St. Michael. At the end of the blessing, he said, "St. Michael wins because in him it is God who acts." This sculpture reminds us then that evil is overcome. The enemy is unmasked, his head crushed, because salvation was accomplished once and for all in the blood of Christ. Though the devil always tries to disfigure the face of the archangel and that of humanity, God is stronger. It is his victory and his salvation that is offered to all men. We are not alone on the journey or in the trials of life. We are accompanied and supported by the angels of God, who offer their wings to help us overcome so many dangers in order to fly high compared to those realities that can weigh down our lives or drag us down. In consecrating Vatican City State to St. Michael the Archangel, I ask him to defend us from the evil one and banish him. Now, you guys have known me long enough to know that I am rarely given to wild-eyed, apocalyptic, fire and brimstone preaching. That is just not how I roll. You know this. Okay? And I always tell you, instead of coming up with assumptions that any given thing is supernatural, always look for the natural cause first to rule out if that is a possibility. When we talk about our spiritual struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, I always counsel you not to jump to the conclusion, well, the devil made me do it, okay? Because he might not have, so, okay? It may be just you. Sometimes we make bad choices, okay? But the readings for this last Sunday of the liturgical year, the Sunday before we celebrate Christ as King, both from the book of Daniel and the Gospel of Mark, speak of a time of great tribulation. Now, there are some who want to take the book of Revelation as kind of a playbook for the end times, and some of our evangelical Christian friends get quite worked up trying to figure out how current events fulfill every single word of that last book of the Bible. But as Catholics, we know that in some sense, we are always living in the end times. Think about how many times that we say the Our Father and we pray, Thy kingdom come. Well, if you don't want His kingdom to come, then don't pray that prayer. His kingdom of love and truth and mercy, first of all in the soul by the gift of grace, but also the fulfillment of His kingdom at the end of the world when we will be with Him forever in heaven. We should always look forward to that day when the only feast we celebrate is Christ the King, because His reign will be complete over us and over the whole world. But you know just as well as I do that in history there are times of peace, and there are also, unfortunately, times of war. Even our Holy Father said last week in Florence, today we are living not in an era of change, but in the change of an era. That is why it is so important for us never to put our trust in anything or anyone but Jesus Christ. But when we do put our trust in Him and in Him alone, that is why we should not let the continuous tumult, scandal, and insanity of our world get to us. We have lived an extraordinary week of current events. On Friday, as many of us were going about the beginning of our weekend, I was here in church on a wedding rehearsal. We had these events that happened in Paris. Earlier in the week in Beirut, shortly before in Kenya. It has been an incredible time. And so many people, they hear about these things, they experience these things, and they say, what are we supposed to do in the face of something which is so irrational and so evil and so mindless and so hateful? What are we supposed to do? And so then so often we get upset because we don't see anything happening. And we get angry, and before we realize it, we fed into the same cycle of violence and hatred that started all this nonsense in the first place. And so grows a sense of hopelessness and helplessness. Perhaps it is instructive that whenever there's some type of tragedy or some type of kind of thing that is so unexpected, what is the first thing that comes to our mind and our lips? Let us pray. The first thing that we want to do is to sink to our knees and to be with God, even if it is to scream at Him, why is this happening? That almost spontaneous, natural rising of the Spirit to prayer, I think that tells us something. But so often we let that spirit of prayer be merely an attitude of changing our cover photo on Facebook or throwing something up on Twitter that we should pray for people. So often we get so caught up in what we're supposed to do or what others are supposed to do that we forget who we are. That by our baptism we have been plunged into the death, resurrection of Christ, and by that we are made priest, prophet, and king, and each one of us is called to offer that prophetic witness of the dominion of Christ over the souls of every person. That dominion of peace, of forgiveness, of mercy, and of love. We have St. Michael the Archangel appointed by God to protect and defend us. And as long as we persevere in the state of grace, we have nothing to fear. Remember that St. Paul writes and says, what can separate us from the love of Christ. And he goes on with these lists like St. Paul is very fond of that goes on and on and on. He has like, you know, 30 things. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. If we are in the state of grace, if we believe that Jesus is truly our Savior and the Savior of the world, and if we struggle to do His will in every aspect of our lives, and we ask for His forgiveness and His mercy and His compassion when we mess it up, because we do, then there is nothing that can come between us and God. It is a natural thing to have this sense of fear. As I was reading the Office of Readings from the Liturgy of the Hours this morning, the homily that was appointed said, "Why is it that we fear the kingdom of God?" Because we hold on to sin. The passing things of this world are entirely too attractive. And so we prefer to stay mired in that sin than to say, okay, you know what? That really, in the big scheme of things, in the grand scheme of things, is not as important as the love of God and the love of neighbor. And when we cast aside those earthly cares and we cling to Jesus and to Him, and we know that He can give us the power and the grace to live His supernatural divine life, then we know that all will be well, and that the worst thing that can happen to us is that we are with God. My friends, our families and our churches should become little oases of peace in the world. And the way that we do that is by becoming contemplatives in the midst of the world. That prayer is not merely a quick sign of the cross, like we're swiping away flies from our face, okay? It's plunging ourselves into Jesus Christ. That spirit of constant prayer and supplication, of intercession and praise, rises up to the heavens like so much incense. And if we use so much incense in this church that sometimes you can't see the altar, that's how much we need to be praying, right? Because that rising up of that sacrifice of praise is pleasing to God, and He can do so many things with that. Because, my friends, if we have our hands uplifted to God in prayer, we can't throw bombs. If we have our hands outstretched to our neighbor to help them, then we cannot at the same time strike them and tear them down. We seek refuge in prayer. Not because we want to get away from the world, but out of love, so that we have the strength to be in the midst of this world. And so that's why we must go to Mass as much as we can. I've said this so much, I know that you're tired of hearing it, but, you know, I don't have a lot of creative ideas, so you're going to hear the same thing from me as long as I'm with you. When we're at Mass, we become the love that we receive. And so that means every aspect of our entering into this celebration has to be entering into that love which we receive and which we become when we receive it. If we come to Mass to warm a bench and, you know, we have our arms over our chest and we say, "I'm not going to pray that prayer. I'm not going to sing that stupid hymn. I hate it anyway." Okay? Then what are we going to do when we need that prayer? If we have closed our hearts and our minds and our souls from the penetrating spirit of prayer and the gospel, then when we need to be love in the midst of the world, how will we have the strength to be able to do it? Go to confession frequently, as much as you need to. The reason why there's so much hatred and violence in the world is that there is not enough forgiveness and mercy in the world. And the only way that we can give that forgiveness and mercy is by experiencing the forgiveness and mercy of God first. We cannot give what we do not have. Go to confession. Don't wait. Over and over again, our Lord in the Gospels reminds us that in the twinkling of an eye, we could be at his feet at judgment. He comes as a thief in the night. He comes in the twinkling of an eye. Will we be ready? Read your Bible every day. The Word of God is not just some big volume to collect dust on and to inscribe a few events that are important for your family. The Word of God is that beautiful collection of letters from Jesus of love. All of those words, even the hard ones, even the hard sayings, even the things that we read and we're like, I have no idea what that means, and there's lots of them. They're all loving witness from God. Don't waste the time God gave you in this life to build his kingdom on trifles. Think about the fact that from all eternity, God wanted each one of you to come into existence. And even despite your failings and your sins, he still wants you and desires you and loves you. And he wants you to cooperate with him in building a kingdom of peace and love. And if there is anything in our life which is preventing us from doing that, we have to ask for his grace to be able to leave it aside so that our hands are not chained down by sin, so that we can raise them in prayer and supplication for others. Lose yourself in an ocean of mercy and give the fruits of that contemplation to everyone you meet, because everyone needs that mercy and love.